you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
You're listening to episode 158, where we talk bread with Honeygrove.
Hey, John.
Hey, Darren.
It's been a while.
We're back here downtown.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some bread.
Yeah. Awesome.
And some amazing bread.
Sure. Yeah. We've got Mark Sims from Honeygrove Bakery. Sorry. Mark, hi. Welcome.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
No
so
worries.
I have to say that your bread has become a bit of a treat around my house, actually.
Perfect.
I find like whenever I see a loaf of it somewhere, I just have to scoop it up. And yeah, and then it seems to disappear quite quickly from within the house.
Well, so. I'm very happy to hear that.
I'd like to just sort of backpedal a bit, too. I think we actually started trying to track you down about a year ago, maybe even a little longer. And we were told that you were quite evasive and that you probably didn't want to be tracked down. So we were trying to respect that for a long time. We were like, well, he doesn't want to be bothered, so we won't bother him. But I'm really glad that we were able to make it
good.
Work out, and here you are.
Yeah, there was a time a year ago when I was swamped.
Yeah.
Just starting a new business and getting things up and running. So I feel I have a bit more time to do some outreach.
Yeah.
A little PR.
A little PR.
And spread
exactly.
the message.
Good. Great.
Well, I just want to say, maybe you could just, in your own words, describe your bakery and describe what you're trying to accomplish.
Okay. How far back do you want me to go?
Sure. Go back all the way.
Okay. Well, I won't go back all the way, but because that's not interesting. But my wife and I moved to the Valley 7 years ago from Vancouver. I worked in the corporate world making sound design for video games for years and years, writing music and, doing sound design for video games. So we decided we needed a change and landed here, bought a little place out in Merville. You know, before long, I started getting itchy feet and needed to get off the farm, do some work, get my hands dirty. And I'd been an amateur baker for a long time, so got a job at a local bakery where I sort of learned the trade. And then someone lent me a book called The Bread Builders by Alan Scott, which is all about wood-fired ovens and half-baked bread. And there's plans in the back of that on how to build an oven. So before long, I had an oven that I'd built on the farm and started taking bread to the farmer's market. And that became really popular. Couldn't make enough for reasons I won't go into, but just, you know, logistical, working with a brick oven is not easy.
You can only get so much in that oven at once.
Exactly. So, and I wasn't getting consistent results because it's pretty crazy in one of those ovens. So I wanted to A, give the customer what they wanted, which was more product, and B, give them something that I was happier with, being more consistent with. And it allowed me to explore other avenues of bread and related products. So I decided to look into getting a brick and mortar store. And my friend Hubert, who was ran Little Orca Bakery, who was retiring, told me that he was looking to get rid of his place.
Oh, wow.
Out in Tin Town. And it just all happened at the same time. And before I knew it, March 2017, I signed for the building, the warehouse space, and got the oven from Italy, and
wow.
I suppose the rest just took care of itself, really. But
yeah,
that's sort of how it all came to be. And since then I've gone, you know, from strength to strength, I think.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think I first heard about you, actually it was my brother and his partner, Tori and Tony, that they were telling me about you ages ago, and they're like, oh, you got to get them on the show. And then, yeah, like I said, just trying to track you down and give you that wide berth. So I'm glad that we finally are able to talk to you about this, because I wasn't that aware of the full range of products. I'd had a couple of loaves here and there. I bought a few loaves from your wife at the market.
Yeah.
And, But yeah, being in your actual location, I was quite surprised that you had that much of a variety on a daily basis, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, the building and my plan was always to just be wholesale.
Right.
It was just going to be a production bakery where I was wholesaling everything out the back. But I realized quickly that we were there. Someone was there all the time.
Right.
So I figured we'd open the doors, even though the location's atrocious. But, you know, you only have to find me once.
Right.
And yes, so that the foot traffic's been great, even though it's still a small portion of what, you know, the money that I make.
Right.
And most of it is through wholesale. But it's good to have people come in. I get to interact with them, which is great. You know, talking to the customers, which I don't get to see on the wholesale side of things, really. Well, my customers are a different type of customer, of course. But so, yeah, that's worked out great.
Wow.
Yeah, really good.
John and I are very aware of owning a food venue in Tin Town and just the trials and tribulations. We used to own Prontissima together. And so I know what you mean. Sometimes people have no idea where you're talking about when you're like, no, it's just down in Tin Town. They're like, what?
Right.
What's that?
Yeah, most people don't even know where Tin Town is.
Exactly.
Then they find you.
Yeah, once you find it once, then you're definitely going to go back there. And it's usually such a quick, easy get in, get out spot. And
Exactly. So that's what I found. I found, you know, it's been a slow burn to get people to come, but yeah, once they find me once, they can come back, right? Mm-hmm. So that's great. Just getting busier and busier.
Is it? That was gonna be my next question. Are you finding that things are growing? Are they increasing?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a seasonal business that you know, the summer's good for this kind of thing, where the winter's pretty slow. January and February's
I think of like
pretty quiet.
Good, hearty, rustic breads is such a winter food.
Yeah, I think people maybe they've flown the nest and they're away for the winter, so maybe it's just the customer base drops.
Right.
But
everyone's broke after Christmas.
And everyone's broke after Christmas. And everyone's on diets. That's the other thing, of course, the keto diet.
Cleaning out that pantry.
But it's a good time of year. The tourists are coming. The kids are going to be out of school, so the markets are busy.
Right.
I'm flat out for the Saturday farmers market for sure. So, yeah, business is booming. Yeah, absolutely.
So for people that aren't aware, because I wasn't aware that you did baked goods. Like, I thought you were strictly breads.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I showed up at your shop and you had those, the chocolate, the pan of chocolate.
Pan of chocolate, yeah.
Yeah. And my girlfriend was like, grab one immediately, grab it. And I'm like, there's only one left. But yeah. I didn't realize. So what is your full range of products? Like,
So that's a fairly new thing. I mean, now we have the sourdough bread. We have seven basic flavors. And then every bake day, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we do a specialty flavor. So we do fruit bread on Mondays. We do a new one called the Anand, which is turmeric, black mustard seed, caramelized onion, and fresh cilantro is our Wednesday one. That was today.
Amazing.
And then Friday, we do the peasant, which is roasted potato, roasted garlic, and fresh sage.
Wow.
So that's the full range of the sourdough breads. We do fresh baguettes, traditional French baguettes, and then we've just started the line of croissants. So we do a plain pan au chocolat and a gruyere and smoked paprika.
Wow.
And that's all, the croissants are all 100% organic, and the bread, certainly the flour is, and ingredients are where possible and where we can keep the price down. And that's it for now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's enough. That's got you growing and bustling. And,
That keeps us busy, and we're selling out every day. So,
yeah, it's amazing.
You know, new products will come in time, but we're just working. And, of course, all the wholesalers want the new products too. So we got to get the croissants up to hundreds a day at some point fairly soon here. So that's going to keep us busy.
You said today was a bake day?
Today was a bake day.
Yeah, and I popped in around 11, and you had a few loaves of bread and a few baguettes left.
That's it. Yeah, so the croissants had gone by 8:45.
Wow.
Someone came and bought them all, actually. So
that's incredible.
So they're going pretty quick.
Cool. So are you baking every day, or is it a...
We bake... The croissants are fresh every day.
Okay.
Because I don't like to sell them the second day. I don't think they're at their best. So
of course.
Croissants fresh every day. The bread, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday for the farmer's market.
That's great.
So those are the best days to pop in there.
If you want fresh bread, absolutely. I mean, the sourdough, I'm happy to sell the second day for a discount. Because it does last such a long time, it'll never mold. It's just, it sort of stales over time. After 6 or 7 days, it will stale. Yeah. But it'll never mold because of the high lactic acid in the sourdough. So I'm happy to sell that at a discount on the second day, but the other products, no.
Wow.
Now, I really want to talk about the richness in your breads and the beauty of it. And I wanted to know how you would describe the difference between how you're making your breads and how other people are making their breads. Is there some dramatic differences or are you just better ingredients?
Of course, without giving out trade secrets.
No, no trade secrets. I suppose the one word that comes to mind is slowly. I think that's the philosophy. I'm not saying it's slow food exactly, but slowly is the philosophy that I like as far as the bread's concerned. The long, it's a 3-day process, so the long fermentation on the bread does many things, adds flavor, it pre-digests a lot of the proteins that causes issues that people have with gluten intolerances. So a lot of people who have gluten intolerances can eat my bread because of that.
Interesting.
So that long fermentation, I think, is critical. It also fits nicely in with the schedule, but a long cold ferment is the best way to make the sourdough for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was actually my next question. I was going to be like, how does gluten-free affect you? But it sounds like...
Yeah, gluten-free. Okay, that's an interesting topic. I mean, there's the celiac side of things. Obviously, they can't go anywhere near the bread. And that's fair enough.
Right.
And even with people who are gluten-free for the sensitivities, there's obviously a wide spectrum there that I wouldn't like to guarantee anything within that. But those people who miss bread and haven't been eating it, and are willing to take a chance because their symptoms aren't going to hospitalize them, I recommend they try some of my bread, because I've had, you know, multiple people say it's changed their life and they're back on it.
Right.
And they're eating a loaf and a half a week.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
you know, I'd say if you want to take the chance, go ahead.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
No, because I can definitely see that, because you're using organic flours and whatever is garlic, which you've got, there's less in that, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a cleaner product to begin with.
Exactly. I say three things that make my bread good for people with sensitivities. One, the long fermentation. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're right, the organic flour, non-GMO.
Right.
So it hasn't been sprayed. The wheat hasn't been sprayed. And thirdly, freshly milled flour, I think, is a big one. I think rancid flour is a big part of what causes the stomach issues with these with people with gluten sensitivities. And so that's flour that's been stored at the wrong temperature, the wrong humidity for too long.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of that in the grocery stores, for instance.
Right.
That flour, because who knows
it takes on a different chemical profile.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
So, yeah, the rancid flour, so freshly milled flour is a big one, the long fermentation, and the organic GMO. It's all Canadian as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It hasn't come far. And I've always said, and I, you know, the keto diet I know is super popular, and that's everyone's off the carbs, and bread comes through fashions. Right now, maybe there's a dip in the fashion with bread, and sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down, but, you know, I've always said, good bread is good for people and bad bread is bad for people. So I try and encourage people to not be put off by bread as a whole, but look for good bread, because I believe it is good for you.
Yeah, it's funny. It sort of ties in with a running theme that seems to be going on this program, if you want to call it that, for this year, where we've been talking to a lot of people where, you know, the 50s there was a lot of industrialization and population booms or what have you, or maybe it was just the fact that there was more dollars in making products in bigger batches to send further. And it seems that we had really nailed it down from an economic perspective.
Right.
And now we're starting to find a few generations later that all of that industrialization of our food, I mean, I think we were aware in the 80s, but I think that now we're starting to actually see pretty bad ramifications of it, and we're starting to undo it all and go back to the ways that we were before industrialization.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's that type of mentality, at least, is fashionable, I think, if that's the word. So, yeah, my bread's not cheap, but for those reasons, it takes a long time to make, and the ingredients are top quality, but...
it's also a hearty loaf, though.
Oh, yes.
Like, if people want to compare it price-wise to what's on the shelf in a grocery store, they can say, well, I can get two there for your one, but you're getting twice the content, really.
Right.
Versus, I mean, flavor alone aside, I mean, but like just the weight, the sheer weight of a loaf of your bread is right. twice that of a volume of a.
Yes.
So
that's yeah. a good point, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably terrible to say, but I know myself with like a cheap white bread or whatever, I could probably inhale half a loaf of bread.
Well, and
like
it's mostly air. That's
mostly
why.
Air, yeah. But then like I find your bread like a nice good slice toasted off with a little yeah. something, but just butter on it or whatever. That's and it. It's like, it's beautiful. Like yep. it's just this. And I'm like, and I've had that piece and I'm like, and now I'm full.
Yeah.
So it's not like you get that out of the loaf. And right. there's a bit of life out of your loaf too. Like yep. it's not like it's gone tomorrow. And
yep. Right.
Now you don't slice your loaves?
No, I do not. It's a common question.
I'll throw it out
and
there.
I have my I have my answer. So basically, you should never slice bread when it's warm. Right. So that takes care of half the day where the bread's too warm to slice anyway.
Right.
And once it has fully cooled down, if there's any left, oftentimes there isn't, but then technically it could be sliced. But slices are a pain and they take a lot of maintenance. They break down a lot. The blades need to be sharpened every second week, and there's no one around who will sharpen them.
Oh, wow.
To do a good job, anyway.
Right.
And typically, if they don't get sharpened, the bread just gets squished
right.
and messed up, and I am not prepared to do that.
Yeah.
People who struggle with it, I say basically a bread knife with fewer, larger teeth. Is right. the way to go.
Right.
You get these serrated ones with thousands of teeth on, that'll never get through. You want right. one with like 12 or 15 giant
yeah.
teeth.
Yeah.
And that'll get through in a heartbeat.
Oh, that's yeah. perfect.
I've never had a problem. Yeah, so. No,
neither have I. So what, any ambitions, any hopes, any eyes on the prize? Any?
Yeah. So yeah. I've always liked the idea of, so yeah, my location's not good. So I've always liked the idea of maybe getting a little tiny little 200 square foot place downtown, which oh, just yeah. has a counter, you know, someone to greet the customers and right. a rack of bread behind them.
Right.
But where it's all produced still out in Tin Town, but yeah. could be retailed somewhere a little more logistically
right.
viable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a long way from that.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't really have ambition in sort of numbers of loaves. I don't want to mm-hmm. be in Thrifties. You know, I don't right. really want to go that route.
Yes.
So more products for mm-hmm. sure will come in time. Flatbreads and that kind of stuff.
Still within the valley.
Dinner buns. Yeah. So more products, you know, when it's time. Mm-hmm. And maybe a little retail space, shared a retail space with someone to set yeah. it at a better location.
A lot of people seem to want to grow big and beyond and whatever, and it's nice to hear you just want to stay within the confines and not get too big and
no.
just stay a little valley secret.
Yeah, it's an old saying, but yeah, I think the bigger you get, the quality is just going to go down. I think right. you can't really avoid it, right? Because
yeah.
you take your eye off the prize, you're busy looking somewhere else, and suddenly the product's gone.
Yeah.
Or well, the quality's gone. And
it's
not
hard
prepared
when
to do
you're,
that.
You have to rely on other people to do it. And
yes.
when you're the guy who does it and you've
Absolutely.
Got that routine down
Absolutely.
And that pattern, right?
Like, yeah,
right.
I've got some great bakers working for me, and nothing against them at all, but yeah, I can't take my eye off the product.
Right.
You just can't. So,
well, I was wondering maybe yeah. we could just mention some of the places, since you don't have a location yet, where we can find some of your
well,
products.
This is a good opportunity. So in Corny, I'm at Edible Island, so they get deliveries Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's where I usually end up grabbing a
yeah,
loaf I find.
Exactly. Right. So that's the sourdough and the baguettes are both there.
And it goes quick. Like
it
I noticed,
tends to go fairly quick.
I usually
yeah.
walk in there and there's like one loaf or two
yeah.
loaves left. And
so,
I'm like, whoa.
So they've been really good. Healthy Way up in Campbell River.
Oh,
take the bread again Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Spot.
And Seeds Market in Cumberland.
Right.
Hornby Island Co-op have just jumped on board. And then some cafes and some places fighting over the croissants right now. But we need to get our numbers up before we can agree to any of that. But there's been lots of interest there. So
right.
You'll see them around town soon, I hope.
Right. Oh, and then at the market, you're there.
Of course, yeah. So we're at the Saturday market every Saturday. That's year round. Mm-hmm. And then we're probably going to be doing the Wednesday downtown market as well. Wednesday morning market, although I don't think they've even found a location for it yet, so that's TBD whether that happens.
But right. still
that's
figuring that out. Yeah.
They're still figuring that out, but hopefully, and that's just July and August.
Wow, great,
yeah, perfect. That's it.
Yeah, and maybe we for some listeners out there, your information, where they can follow you and
okay.
the social media websites, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, great. Where they can find you in Tintown.
Yeah.
So I suppose Instagram of all the social media is kind of the one I concentrate more on. So
right.
that's just Honey Grove Bakery.
I know. I love following it. You've got some beautiful photos.
Yeah, you got some beautiful photography there.
Thank you.
That's my girlfriend is constantly, oh my God, look at this.
I don't think I'm very good at it, but okay. Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, Instagram is a great place if you want to follow, find out what new products are coming. The location in Tintown is Unit 4. 2441 Cousins Avenue. So that's the main curved road through Tintown, mm-hmm. right opposite the Tintown Cafe, basically that entrance. So I'm not in Tintown itself. I'm on the other side of the curved road.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And my hours are 8:30 till 1 o'clock. So I do close early, but it's the life of a baker. So I've been up since 3. So
right.
you're only going to get me to 1, I'm afraid. But, and that's Monday through Friday. 8:30 to 1, and I have the signs out, so if you're driving through Tintown, you can't really miss me.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And you have a phone number? That
250-898-3304. And yeah, reserving bread is quite a good idea if you want to guarantee that, so calling ahead reserving is not a terrible idea for any of the products, really.
That's great. I didn't know that you offered that.
It would be, you know, a great place to be in the future is where I'm taking lots of phone orders, and then we can plan ahead so people aren't disappointed, which would
fantastic
be good. Yeah,
well, thank you so much, Mark, for sitting in.
It's just my pleasure.
Yes, absolutely. I know you're probably ready to go to bed now, so.
Well, my parents actually arrived from the UK this evening, so I'm gonna pick them up from the airport, so that's my day plan.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.
If we haven't covered something here that, you know, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us in a lot of places.
We always love to hear feedback from, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little 2 cents of how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I'd like just to say, if there's anyone out there mm-hmm. that is doing this currently or is mm-hmm. about to get into this or know someone who's doing one of these few things, mm-hmm. we would love to talk to you. So I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah.
New caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
It always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water. Yeah. Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. There's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do, like, you know, those sort of foodie dinner groups. We would love to talk to you, like, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at theedibleValley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter at Edible Valley, Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.